Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Blake Barker, Group Executive Output Services for TSYS. Blake, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So here's the topic of conversation for today. Certainly, EMV is what everyone is talking about in the payments ecosystem, given the October migration date. And TSYS made some news recently with respect to a new card manufacturing service that gives issuers a lot more control over how they manage that process. Can you explain what news you broke and the impact to issuers?
Yes, so the news was around our on-demand milling and embedding operation. And just a little history, back in 2010, we announced the opening of our on-demand card manufacturing facility. So it's a facility within our Card Perso Bureau. And so for the last 5 years, we've been doing that. As part of that plan and on our roadmap, we had in our sights the EMV migration for the U.S. and then, you know, how we might help some of the players that we are targeting, our target audience for this particular on-demand manufacturing process, also then for the chip on-demand process, which are, you know, normally your small to medium issuers doing custom cards or startups, or it gives them an option to pay by the drink, if you will. As part of that, now with milling and embedding, we're extending that capability. So past a magstripe card, now you can actually embed a chip and be prepared for the Perso process all in our on-demand shop here at TSYS Output Services.
So it sounds like that offers issuers, as you guys report, a lot of flexibility to not only control how they process and distribute, but also how they might want to personalize the cards as well. Is that true?
What I feel it offers, and I don't want to minimize the complexity of this EMV world that we live in today, but certainly helps to minimize some of the complexities because it offers a really off-the-shelf product that we can immediately move them to, meaning chip selection's already been done on their behalf. You know, scripts have already been written for these particular chipsets. So it gives them the ease of migrating to EMV, whether they start small or kind of, you know, big bang, we can help them with that.
So you mentioned that this is particularly well-suited to some of the small to medium issuers. Is that where you're finding the demand for the service?
So far, yes. We do expect this service can be really done in two different ways. One is through our on-demand manufacturing, we can extend that process and also embed chip, or we can bring a card out of our vault that maybe an issuer has purchased through another supplier and also put a chip in it and have it chip enabled for personalization.
Was your thinking back in 2010, you must have been very prescient when you were thinking about the need to do this and to have a capability that allowed you to be that responsive, you know, now 5 years ago. But how did you actually think about designing the facility? What was involved in actually doing that, and how did you really begin to develop the parameters for what you would do and what you wouldn't do?
We laid it out very methodically for our manufacturing process. And like I said, we've been running for 5 years. And so we designed some expansion space within our facility for the milling and embedding operation at some point. And so we were able to, and had some flexibility within our floor space here at the North Center to be able to expand for this operation and reconfigure for an optimal workflow. So it was a lot of forethought, I think, a long time ago. However, a lot changed in 5 years, so we were, you know, able to better position ourselves over the last, say, year with planning to launch this chip on demand.
So is this capability unique in the market?
Yes. And when I say unique, let me maybe illustrate that this way. We have a product are called fast cards. And so today, if an issuer requests a card by 3 p.m. and it's requested as a fast card, that card will be printed, laminated, punched, hot stamped, chip embedded, personalized, fulfilled, packaged in a FedEx package or UPS, some express carrier, and shipped tonight by 11 p.m. for delivery to the customer at 10:30 the next morning.
Wow.
I don't believe that there's anyone in the market that's able to do that today.
So, you know, it's interesting that you should say that. My non-chip debit card was compromised last week. I didn't realize it. I got a call from my bank saying that it had been and that they were overnighting a replacement card for me. And the card that I got the next day was a card with a chip in it, which I thought was very, very interesting because my replacement card was an EMV chip-enabled card, and it happened, you know, obviously overnight. So it sounds like your facility was probably behind the scenes making that possible.
So that can happen two ways. So we do that traditionally. So just from a overall perspective of Card Perso, we buy millions of plastics a year and put in our vault that we do not manufacture in our shop. Again, we're trying to fit that small niche. So we have chip-enabled cards in our vault today that if a customer, again, in this situation that you're talking about, request a card as a fast card, we would ship it overnight. The uniqueness about what I explained a minute ago was the fact that we're actually manufacturing the card and embedding the chip. It's not something we're pulling off of a shelf.
Gotcha.
Pre-made months ago.
So how many more cards do you think your on-demand capability will bring into the market, say, between now and the time of the migration? Do you guys have any estimates that you're willing to share?
I'll say I'm optimistic that it's going to provide a lot of customers a lot of opportunity to get cards into the market by the shift. But I'll caveat that with saying this is a new product that we just announced, and it is, we are boarding customers. So we have a pipeline of customers getting into this service and then being able to actually leverage it on their side, it may take time. So depending on how they request cards and that sort of thing. So, you know, optimistically, I would say we'll probably deliver, you know, 400,000 cards between now and October through this process.
Wow.
But we, from a normal personalization process, you know, it will be millions.
Wow. Well, that's certainly impressive. Give us a sense, as we wrap up, Blake, some of the things that you're focused on next. Well, from a card services perspective, I know there have been a number of things that we've talked about over the last several months, in addition to what we just talked about today. Any clues on what we might be seeing next?
Yeah, so I think the market in it of itself, I heard a stat yesterday that says that 40% of the world is on a dual interface card. You know, if you look outside of North America or actually the U.S., and I would say that certainly top of mind for us right now is the next evolution of EMV in terms of consumer acceptance. And we believe that there's going to be some consumer demand for a tap option for EMV versus, you know, a drop in the slot option in a pin. So we think that dual interface is coming. We certainly don't know how fast that will be, but I think in 2016, that's going to be kind of a focus for us, is really looking at how we build out the capability to manufacture a dual interface card in this card shop and chip on demand process that we talked about. And then we are already in a small way kind of dabbling in the dual interface space with some of the issuers that we service today, and we expect to see that grow as well. And then the other thing I think that's on the horizon you'll probably be hearing more about is instant issuance.
That certainly seems to be a hot topic. You know, on the dual interface card, it's so interesting because I've heard several people comment that, especially in the U.S. market, a change in requirement from the consumer standpoint at the point of sale with an EMV card will be so different that it will create demand for, you know, a card that you can just tap as opposed to, you know, the confusion of dipping and waiting. I think that's a very interesting commentary on what we may be observing as the migration and the shift takes shape.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Blake, it was great to catch up with you and to get more specifics on your on-demand capability with respect to chip cards, and it sounds like there's a lot more coming, so we look forward to talking with you as those developments happen to get the latest and greatest. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you.